Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's BMAZ and Beamer, News Radio 930 WBEN.
And thanks for joining us, BMAZ and Beamer here on WBEN. Joe here with me, who you heard a lot of over the weekend.
Yes.
Thanks for being here, Joe, and a lot of conversations you had. Who can you check out on demand?
You can check out, we talked with former Buffalo captain Ronaldo. We talked with John Elmore and Terry Connors, among others. To kind of put everything into perspective and what to expect legally in the week coming.
So you had a little bit of a different experience with this than me, because you were here over the weekend, and I'm thinking about Monday morning, and what does that sound like after what happened? And the big question is what to say. And I think that's a tough question today.
Yeah.
Even nearly 2 days later. And I would imagine everyone you talked with over the weekend, Joe, that's kind of the question, even as you're talking, that you're grappling with. Is you might be talking, but your guests, you don't know what to say.
You don't know what to say. And on Saturday, Brian, the first 45 minutes I was on, it was really difficult to put my feelings into words, right? It is one of those things. You hear people say it so cliche. Oh, I'm speechless. Saturday, I was honestly struggling to find words to describe how I was feeling, to talk, talk about this. And you're right. 2 days later, it still is that same feeling. And it's really difficult to find the words.
I still have it. It's like a knot in your stomach. And for me, it was about coming in today, and partly for the obvious reasons, I think. It's still the event. It's sadness. It's anger that we're all feeling as kind of a direct result of the attack on Saturday. But it's also knowing that it's something I have to kind of confront. You knew over the weekend, work here isn't an escape from paying attention to everything bad that's happening in the world. It's right. The opposite. Here especially, where I think a lot of people, you can go and do something else and it puts you in a different place and you don't think about it quite as much. And I think the other thing is here, especially as you grapple with the question of what you can say, there's some expectation, right, of something profound being said. And whether that's somebody here or that is the governor or the mayor or anybody who spoke at a church over the weekend or anyone who was in front of a microphone talking about this event, I think people are expecting some sort of take on the matter, some idea, theory as to why this happened, maybe how this could have been stopped, something to provide a little bit of insight. And, I think over the weekend, a lot of people did that very admirably, some not as much in my mind, but coming in today, that's not necessarily my style. I am not the type of person to pretend that I know how to stop the ills of the world. And I've never been that. And, how do you come up with what to say with the, I, you know, to be truthful, a defeatist attitude. I talked about this earlier this morning with John Flynn. I, you know, a lot of people are pointing fingers. I don't have the attitude that you want John Flynn to have, or, you know, a U.S. attorney or anybody you heard, where I am left thinking, how in the world are you supposed to stop a terrorist attack carried out by one person traveling hundreds of miles under any sort of scope of anybody who would be trying to stop this? You feel defeated in a way, and you feel angry that somebody would come into your hometown and do this. And I think that was amplified. I talked about this with Dr. Cummings. It was amplified Saturday by people whose first instinct was to jump on social media and argue with one another.
Mm-hmm.
People who, before any facts were known, were very quick to brand all of Western New York as racist. People who say on a public platform that, you know, half the nation would subscribe to the same racist ideology. I was reading takes that the 33 Expressway led to what happened Saturday. You know, all of these things, I think, added to my anger and added to the question of what to say, because you're not going to hear any of that from me. I am trying to figure out, how do you convey to average Western New Yorkers, the people we talk to, Joe, on a day-to-day basis, who in large part are focused on themselves and their family, who are friendly to their neighbors of all races, of all genders, of all ages, who will do something to help their community, to help other people if they see the opportunity, who lived their lives mostly just wanting to be treated with respect and treat other people's with respect the same way they would expect to be treated themselves. Right. And I think that's most people. And I think most people don't have an answer when they see people say that we need to stop hate, or all of these calls that we see, because how can you actively stop something that for most people you don't see or you're not really thinking about? And the only thing that I have to say is that I think most of the people listening to this right now are not going to say anything through the words, but it's by actions, and it's by some of the things we talked about earlier this morning. It's by going to the grocery store, and it's by going to church, and it's by continuing to be good neighbors to everybody, by going to work, by going to events, to concerts, to continue to live as a thriving multicultural community that we are here in Western New York. And, you know, I'm opening this show thinking about what to say, with the only thing that's really running through my head with this being that the biggest statement we make is by doing what we do, the human thing, moving forward. That action to me is what would show that hate isn't tolerated, that it's not going to stop us from being who we are, and that is a good neighbor to everybody. And that to me speaks louder than anything I could say, certainly.
Yep.
And I think anything most people would say. And I do, you know, want to try and figure out what you say to whoever, what you're feeling still 48 hours after this. And if you feel a call to action, what is it? Because I think a lot of people are in that boat of wanting to help, but not knowing how they could do it. When you see somebody say, you know, we all need to help and stop this.
Right.
I mean, how does the average person do that? How does the average person who is doing all those things, who is not a hateful person, who is friendly to their neighbors, who goes about their lives trying to live best for themselves, their family, and their neighborhood, how does the average person do that?
Well, you continue being a good neighbor, right? Like, as you said, you continue being there for the community. You be there for those. We grieve together. We're there for those who need us. Brian, look at yesterday. You talk about the city of good neighbors. Look at the Buffalo Community Fridge. Stocked up. They had to stop getting monetary donations because they had gotten so many on Venmo in the morning. I mean, it is, as you said, actions showing that not only are we good neighbors, most of us, every day of the week, we are there for our community, but when those in need, when there are people that are in need in this community, we come together and we are there for them. Not only are we grieving with them, we are there for them and we'll continue to be there for them. And I think it's been very well illustrated the last 2 days. You're right. A lot of people still don't know what to say or don't know how to express their pain, but they are showing their generosity and they're showing that you know, this hateful racist monster cannot break this community, and that we are still Western New York. We're still Buffalo.
So what do you say? What do you do? 803-0930 is the number to give us a call or a text this morning, because I still think that is a very tough question. Whether that's, what do you say to a kid who, you know, Joe, you've heard me say this a lot of times before, and you'll see it in the news, you know, how to talk to your kid about, you know, X, Y, or Z. How to talk to your kid about, you know, war, or about an attack, or about a volcano, or, you know, something else. And I'm always kind of, you know, looking at this and, well, I mean, you have to ask yourself the question first, do you need to? You know, is that a conversation you need to have? Now we're in a situation where it's unavoidable, where maybe you didn't ever have that conversation before. You didn't need to, but now it's in your community. How do you do that? Do you talk about it? Do you, and I don't think there's anything wrong with, you know, Joe, what I did later Saturday night, I was watching a hockey game because I am not, I can't continue to look at the news, to look at the stories going and stay in a sane state mentally. I need to find some sort of distraction to give myself a break from what's going on. And I think that's a lot of people, too. Maybe it's not thinking about it as much. And maybe that's your way of coping. And I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with that right now. But how do you do it?
And that's what Micah Hyde said yesterday. That's why they continued. They still had that game, is because they said they wanted to give Buffalo something to smile about, give Buffalo, you know, some kind of distraction. But then again, you know, obviously also by being there for the community. And I think what he said was, I think, appreciated by many. And obviously where that money is now going is obviously also very appreciated by the community. Brian, you said something to Dr. Cummings earlier, and you said it a few minutes ago. It does amaze me because, as you said, I have struggled, again, if you heard me Saturday night, I struggled to find the words to express, you know, my pain and you know, the pain I can see when I turned on the TV and I saw, you know, the interviews of those in the community, those that were in the store, and, you know, seeing the pain and hearing the pain in their voices. And then you go on social media, which, you know, we always talk about how toxic it is, and you have people, we need to come together, but in the same breath, saying, but this is your fault, and it's just, are we coming together, or are we just going to let this tear us apart?
That was the thing I couldn't handle.
You have better control than I by putting the phone down.
That's when I had to put down the phone, and it happened almost immediately. I mean, that was the thing that, you know, and I said, amplified. It wasn't the reason why you're angry, but it amplified your anger to see that the natural reaction from a lot of people is to argue.
Yeah.
And it's not even necessarily in a lot of cases, I think, putting blame on somebody else. It's just arguing.
Yep.
And it's saying, like it's putting something out there, trying to get a response, trying to poke somebody else that I couldn't deal with for more than about 10 minutes of seeing some of what was posted before I needed to shut it all down, because it was not the time for a clever take on the matter.
Right.
When you're still trying to figure out exactly what happened.
It's like there are many people now in this country where their default is to argue. Like, I don't know if that's a social media thing. I don't know if that's always been there. But the default is to argue. It is to, you know, not, I don't know. And again, I think posts like that, I think it's you say we got to come together and then say that. I you're sending two separate signals, in my opinion.
So I don't really know what to say today, because I'm not ready to start looking for answers, and that will come. But what do you have to say? 803-0930. We'll begin with James. James, is there something about what happened over the weekend? You know, I think generally we become desensitized to this. Does it bring it back to a place where that's not the case anymore?
Yeah, I'm listening to you guys here, and this was a tragic accident. Like, that accident was premeditated. This was sick. But as a whole of Buffalo, we, as a city of good neighbors, you're absolutely right. I was listening for about 45 minutes. You're right. We do everything together. We help each other out. This gentleman, I don't even know his name, because I don't even want to know his name. Went and did a horrible thing. He pre-planned this whole thing. He went hundreds of miles from his home to our neighborhood, and he selectively targeted African-American people. That is disgusting in my eyes. But this, now, there's a bigger picture. I'm a gun owner. Those black, scary guns that everybody is like wants to ban. It's not. He used one. What does that do now to us as gun owners? And next question I have for you guys is, if more people in the city, because in the city you're not allowed to, you can't have a firearm in the city, like, you can own them, but they'd be in your home. If more people had a pistol in there, that guy never would have gotten the parking lot, out of the parking lot. You know what I mean?
Well, James, there was somebody there exchanging fire with this person who was heavily armored.
Right.
There is one thing that has been said, and that's it's one of these fact of life things, Joe, that it's hard to come to grips with. And that I think is one of the causes. I think it's why you see so much fighting over this issue, why you see so many people rush to say, well, if only this happened, then we wouldn't be dealing with another shooting event. And I think it is that sense of helplessness, that there are some things in life you can't control. We spoke with John Flynn, the district attorney, earlier this morning, and you know, he kind of said in no uncertain terms that there is not an easy way to stop this. I mean, are there ways to prevent this from happening? Likely. Is there any sort of silver bullet magic, you know, way to wave a wand and stop this from happening? This is why I have somewhat of a defeatist attitude, right? Is because it is one person who decided to travel hundreds of miles and carry out a hate-filled attack. There's nothing to argue about. There's nothing to, in the immediate term, get at each other's throats about.
Yep.
There's no easy solution to that. There really isn't.
No. That's what really just upset me on Saturday. It continues to upset me is that the default is to start arguing. I just don't think this is the time. But that's my take.
So what do you say? What do you feel today? 803-0930. You're listening to BMAS and Beamer on W.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know. I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino
and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
B-E-N.
It's B-Maz and Beamer. Now Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer. News Radio 930 WBEN.
Welcome back, B-Maz and Beamer here on WBEN. And of course, talking about the worst shooting in Buffalo's history, terror in the city this Saturday, and how we move along and go through it. Before we get back to you, we'll turn to Aaron Katursky, who's joining us, who's been in Buffalo following this story. And, you know, Aaron, one of the things that's been, you know, amazing is how fast Buffalo police were able to respond to this scene. And that becomes maybe even more so when we learn after the fact that it could have been much worse, and not just at that Tops.
The Buffalo Police Commissioner told us this morning, Brian, that had he not been stopped, Peyton Gendron had plans that they've seen evidence of to continue his rampage beyond the Tops supermarket. The commissioner said that he was going to drive out of the parking lot, continue down Jefferson Avenue, and try to find more black people to shoot and to kill, and perhaps even go into another store to open fire. He certainly had plenty of ammunition. Commissioner Grimalia said there were a number of high-capacity magazines that he was carrying on his person, but also in his car. We know he had two other weapons in the car that police recovered. So Grimalia said that he was convinced there would have been additional carnage had the police not convinced him to drop the weapon and give himself up.
You know, Aaron, more and more coming out about this this shooter. Are authorities surprised that he was not on some type of radar, especially after threats he had made a year ago?
Well, this is the problem. In our country, we don't have a mechanism, either through law enforcement or through social services, to track people like Peyton Gendron. He came into contact with the state police last June. He was given an assignment at his high school to write about his plans for after graduation, and he wrote murder-suicide, according to multiple law enforcement officials. That then prompted the high school to report him to the state police. They sent him for a mental health evaluation that lasted about a day and a half. He was released. There were no criminal charges filed, and he was able to legally purchase the Bushmaster XM15 that he used here allegedly in the massacre.
You know, Aaron, you cover all the big stories. You've been all around the country. This is, you know, the biggest shooting in Buffalo ever. What, from your experience, you know, what does the community do in the following days? What do you expect to see from the community, from Buffalo, as coming together in these next couple days?
Well, I hate to say that it follows a pattern, but you know, what I'm seeing is familiar. You know, I see right now an evidence technician suiting up, putting on blue booties to go inside the Tops Market to continue to process what's been described to us as a really grim scene inside. The expressions of grief in the form of balloons and flowers and candles have sprung up on the lawn outside. We've heard Governor Hochul denounce hate, call for tighter gun laws, call for an end to white supremacist rhetoric online and social media companies. These kinds of calls follow every single mass shooting, and the country doesn't do anything about it. And then the president will come and offer the condolences of the nation, and he will pay tribute to the first responders, undoubtedly, who acted bravely. But still, this will repeat itself. And to give you a bit of context, in addition to the shooting here, which is undoubtedly the worst mass shooting of the year so far in the United States, in the 72 hours from Friday until Sunday evening, 127 people were killed in the country by gun violence.
Aaron, we thank you for the update. Aaron Katursky joining us live. You'll hear more from him throughout the day here on WBEN as we continue our coverage. We're asking you, what do you say after what happened? What are you feeling? 803-0930. We'll go to Brenda in Buffalo. Brenda, you're on WBEN. How are you feeling this morning?
For you, I'm the cousin of the security guard.
We're sorry to hear that. I can't even say anything to you other than sorry for your loss.
Yeah, I could imagine. I'm still speechless behind it. I was with the family. We were at Stanley Mikowski, and all we could do was just sit and just kind of reflect on the day and the happenings. First of all, I'd like to thank everyone who had for their condolences and gratitude. I'm an avid listener of WBEN. I call in, and David DeBellavia knows me because he knows my husband was in the service. But it is, I listened to one caller about if it could have been avoided. We realize things like that can't be. You never know whether you walk into a place and whether it's you're gonna come out during this day and time. Our family, the Salter family, is a very strong family, religious family, and we just consistently pray and look to our Maker and to our God, and we're very close-knit, and we're very close-knit. And when one family member suffers at something or something happened, we all do. So I just want to, I know there's a lot of questions. Those same questions are, well, also were in our mind and plague. But as we say, Aaron was our hero, and he was our family. And he came from a very strong religious background. His mom was the general manager of WFO. Carol Salter and her father, and they used to have a cleaners and Aaron, a cleaners, and so he came from a very strong line of religious and caring and loving people, and I just want to extend my gratitude on behalf of my family to those that have thought of us and everything.
What has helped you and your family that you've seen from the community? So many people want to help in some way, shape, or form. What has helped you?
The caring, the calls, the kind words, the different things. Even relatives have even though I'm a cousin, and relatives have even checked on me, because Saturday was it was a draining day. I was there, I had to be with I was prompted, because I was prompted to be with them, and I went and I there, but then I also witnessed other people as they learned the fate of their loved ones, the screams of distress and things. It was just a very, very, it was a very draining day. But the gratitude, seeing people gathered together, the prayer vigils, and I even know those that were working. I had a couple of girls, one of my pastor's daughter was working at the time, and she heard the gunshots, but she was able to run out the back door and run across and hide in the bushes. And yesterday I learned of another girl who was there who was able to hide under something and then be later taken to safety. So it's very traumatic for even to hear those stories. And when I got the call of my cousin being of the fatality, I immediately thought of other people I knew that worked there, and I called and checked on them, and I was glad to hear she was okay. But and then they told me the fate of my cousin.
Aaron is being remembered by everyone who knew him, and everyone we hear from is a hero, obviously for his actions, and not just on Saturday, but through his career as a police officer and everything. When he was not...
A lot more. I believe that by his actions, he prevented further, even a larger tragedy, because it was able to just be centralized right there where he was.
When he was not being that hero and putting on that uniform, what else will you remember Aaron for?
As a family member, as family, as and his family, he was to be a police officer and to be an officer was bravery in itself, because that to me lets me know he wanted to serve his community.
Brenda, we're sorry for your loss.
Thank you so much. I'm now it's coming to I have been so speechless and so shocked. I was sitting and I was I can't even cry, but now I can almost feel. When I started, now I guess I'm more or less talking about it now because I just haven't said anything.
I think it's an emotion that a whole lot of family members are going through right now. And thank you for the time this morning. And
thank you very much for listening.
I hope you can get through these next weeks, days, and then some. That is not unique to having known or been related to one of these 10 people. It's, I think, there's no shame in everyone in Western New York having some sense of that speechlessness of not knowing what to say in having an event that, as we talked with Aaron, has happened so many times in this country. So many times you get desensitized to it. Mm-hmm. You don't treat it as something that could happen in your community, even if it is very close. But then it hits home, and it's almost like it happened for the first time. It's almost like every other shooting, every other event like this across the U.S., across the world, had never happened before.
Well, and I don't mean to sound insensitive, because it's real. It happens to people you know, or people that you know. You know what I mean? And I mean, Brenda calls in all the time, you know, and so sorry for her loss. And Brian, you saw it as soon as she started talking. I got a little choked up as well. And it happens in our backyard. It happened in Buffalo. Most people listening to my voice know exactly, have been there, know exactly the location. It makes it more real. And I don't say that to be offensive, but it just makes it real because it happened to Buffalo. It happened to our community.
We'll go to Pat calling from Buffalo. Pat, what's going through your mind in the last 48 hours?
Well, you know, I really feel really bad for the community that got assassinated, and it's the terminology that really happened. These people out here that do these shootings, they're nothing but barbaric people. They don't believe in religion. They don't believe in love. All they want to do is to tear this government down and get away with shooting. And my main objection to this is we got to stop feeling sympathetic and stereotyping people saying they're mentally ill. This kid was not mentally ill. He came in Friday. He spoke what he wanted to see and do, and he proceeded to do it. He had the ammunition. It was pre-planned on what his intentions were. Somebody with mental issues don't pretend. They don't preapplicate. They just act immediately. This guy planned it. And I think part of the reason he came to Buffalo was a couple of weeks ago back in New York City with the train, with that guy with the canisters and shooting the train up.
Yeah, we know what you're talking about, Pat.
Mayor, but he did make a statement saying, we're lucky we have never had shootings in Buffalo. And I think that this challenged this kid. He did it to make a name for himself. You got nothing but packets of terrorists and treasonous people. And back in the day, they had a law, the death penalty. You didn't have all this crazy stuff going on. And I think they should reinstate it. These officials and government and president, well, and everybody else uses it.
Pat, I'm going to stop you right there. There is a federal investigation that could be that could end in the death penalty. Not that that's the top of anyone's list right now.
Before we go further on down there,
just to answer that question,
I do want to touch on, because I was talking about this after we spoke with Dr. Cummings on the air. I talked with him a little bit off the air. And to that point where Pat says it's making excuses for people and treating them with kid's gloves to say mental illness. And I don't think that's necessarily what's going through people's minds when that's brought up. I think it's our way of trying to explain what happened. In the majority of people's minds, you cannot fathom somebody doing this. And so for the majority of people to see this, it would only stand to reason that this must be somebody who is mentally ill, because how can it be any different? How can anybody in the right frame of mind go and do this? And, you know, in speaking with Dr. Cummings after, I would consider myself on the same, I would say the exact same thing, that there is nobody in the right frame of mind who would do this. From Dr. Cummings' perspective, and he can correct me if I'm wrong in saying this, and I think from a medical perspective, why he was maybe very careful to point out that people with mental illness are very, extremely rarely, are not going to do an attack like this. There is a different definition for mental illness from somebody in his shoes versus, I think, what kind of we just throw around the term mental illness.
Right.
I think when it's used by us, not by a professional, I think what we're trying to convey is that exact feeling. How could anybody do this?
Right.
Nobody who is clear thinking, who is a member of our society, could ever do this. So it must be something that I can't explain. It must be some form of mental illness. And I think there is some truth to that, obviously.
Right.
But it's not, if you're coming at it from his perspective and talking with him a little bit off the air, there is a defined mental illness, and these do not fall under that category. It's not to say that there's nothing wrong. I mean, there's obviously something wrong.
Yes. Right.
But to kind of categorize it all as mental illness, to Pat's point, is unfair. What I'm saying and why we do that, I think, is just reaching for an explanation as to how the unexplainable happened.
Right. It's part of that. It's part of it being unexplainable, right? Trying to find those words that fits right in. Well, we will continue with our coverage all day here on WBEN. There will be a press briefing this afternoon. You'll be able to hear that live here on WBEN. And you have the interviews from A New Morning available at WBEN.com and on the Odyssey app, including our interview with Aaron Katursky. Coming up next, David Bellavia will start after a news update with Randy Bushover. Brian and I will be back tomorrow morning here on WBEN.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.